Blog Talk Radio.
Because when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And when he says no, nobody can say yes. But praise God, our God has a lot of yeses. And so we're just grateful, grateful, grateful to be able to honor him on tonight and to share another inspiring word. And for those of you that are new to the broadcast, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. But I'm excited to share the lesson on tonight. Praise God. The name of the show, I should tell you, is Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. So like I said, if this is your very first time, we pray that you'll be encouraged, that you'll learn something that will encourage your spirit, and that may not be a brand new topic for you to be educated on, but prayerfully, you'll take the information that you have and then expound on it so that you can learn something that will apply to you. And when it applies to you, that you will be empowered to make the necessary changes and then not just keep it to yourself, but to share it with someone else so you can power someone else. Amen. And then for those of you that have been with me for moving into the 9th year, praise God, I can't believe that it's been 9 years. Can you believe that? But I'm grateful because you've been with me, whether you've been with me 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 5 years, how have you been here the whole time? I'm grateful because your prayers and your encouragement keeps me encouraged, keeps me studying to find topics that God can use to empower all of us. These messages are not just for me to share with you, but they're for me too. So I'm grateful that God gives us an inspiring word, but more importantly, revelation, because when we have revelation, that's when we make the necessary changes. It's not to change because we know information, because we know smoking is not good, but praise God, that don't make us stop if we smoke it, praise God. And so we want revelation that will give us the motivation to stop doing what it is that we're doing that's not pleasing to God. And so I'm grateful for those of you that keep me encouraged, keep me motivated, keep me excited. As you can tell, I'm excited. Amen. And keep moving. Now, I cannot go without thanking Jesse and Tammy Store. Praise God, praise God. The Omega Ministry Group has been an amazing empowerment to me and my ministry and helping me understand why it's necessary for us to be obedient to the calls that God has given us. And praise God, they were there to scoop me up and put me on this platform. And I'm grateful that they still encourage me and empower me to continue to do what God has called me to do, and that is to teach. So I will always give them credit. Always give them the best praise because they deserve it. And then we always, always, always go to God before we start our lesson. And so he gets the biggest praise. And so we start the broadcast off with prayer before we go into the lesson. So dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for waking us up this morning. We thank you for giving us a breath of fresh air to do whatever it was that you call for us to do today. And those of us that accomplished it, amen, praise God. And those of us that didn't, praise God, let's believe that God is going to give us another day to do what he's called us to do, because we have to be obedient, amen. And so we just thank you, Father, for giving us chance after chance after chance to do what we need to do to make things right before you. And then you don't just give us these assignments and send us on our way. Father, we're grateful for the resources that you give us. You give us your word that gives us instructions, what we need to do and how we need to do it. You give us the Holy Spirit, or you gave us the Holy Spirit to reside in us, to live in us, to groan for us, to give us the words that we need to speak and say when we just don't know what to say. And so, Father, we would be remiss if we didn't thank you for the precious blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for his journey to the cross. We thank you, Father, for every lash, every ridicule, remark he got, the thorns. I mean, every time when you really, really think about what he went through for us to pay the price for us, amen, that'll make you dance, right? And that's why I play that song, praise God. And I thank you for allowing artists and different people to write books and have talents to do things that will help us to be drawn to you. So we just thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, for this hour, that all of us will be empowered, that there'll be no distractions, and that we'll be able to do what you've called us to do and to stay on the journey that you have us on. Because you gave us the assignment, and you gave us gifts and talents to make sure that we would accomplish those assignments. So allow us to line up and be in your will and in your way. And Father, bless this hour in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killing, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me. Call me a child of God. But I'm so excited and so empowered by the topic that we're going to talk about tonight. And so God gave me this topic a couple days ago. And normally, I think I want to talk about something. I get excited about talking about something, and then God changes it up. But today, he let me talk about what I want to talk about, and so I'm so excited. Well, praise God. Last week, we talked about making sure that we had the right mental dialogue and that we're talking and communicating with ourselves the way that God would have us, not the things that the enemy drops in our spirit and allows us to say things and do things according to his plan and his purpose for us. But we have to follow and do the things that are according to God. And so if we don't have our mind right, then we won't talk about the right things and we won't bring about the right things. And so it's best that we get our mental dialogue in check when we talk to ourselves. And so on tonight, it was going into the same vein how God said that many of us are still, even though we make the changes and renew our mind and say the right things, we still are distracted from the journey that he calls. And so if I had to give this lesson a topic, it would be distracted from the journey. And so I thought, Lord, how can I go into the topic of distracted from the journey? And I get to talk about one of my favorite movies from my childhood. And so it was my ultimate favorite movie for a long time. And I didn't quite understand why it was my favorite movie until maybe a couple of years ago. But I remember when I was a manager for Blockbuster Video, go figure, you know, they're not here anymore. But nevertheless, I was a manager with them for several years. And so whenever I opened the store, I always played the same movie. And so I remember it was so profound that I didn't realize what I was doing, because when I come in, I put the movie in and do my, you know, daily stuff. And so the postman one day said, I can count on you to know the exact time it is, because every time I come in, I'm at the same spot in this movie. And so for those of you who don't know, that one of my major favorite childhood movies was The Wizard of Oz. And so I don't know exactly why it was The Wizard of Oz, but I think because it was one of the fond memory that I had with my mother, because we would sit down, because, you know, back then it would only come on, and if you missed it, you missed it, because you couldn't record it or put it on a DVR. And I don't even think they sold video. No, you didn't have nothing to play it on. So, you know, okay, I'm telling my age. But so if you missed it, you missed it. And so she would make a point to make sure that we would know when it would come on, and we'd all sit in front of the TV. And we were so engrossed in this movie because it started out black and white, and then it transitioned to color. And so the colors back then, you know, color TV, it was pretty much brand new. And so all the different colors, and then the munchkins, and you know, was called munchkins for a long time. But nevertheless, I just really enjoyed the movie. And I think one of the things that really hit the core of why I love this movie so much was because in sixth grade, they decided that they were going to do a play, and it was going to be The Wizard of Oz. And so, of course, I am totally, totally, totally geek because it's my favorite movie. Oh, I want to play. I'll be one of the munchkins. I didn't care. I didn't have to be Dorothy. I just wanted to be part of it. And I remember a teacher told me, she said, you can't participate in the play. And so to my, you know, lack of understanding, I mean, I was so excited. I'm like, well, why? I'll do whatever. And she said, there were no black people in the Wizard of Oz. She said, but you can sing in the choir. And so I remember, I mean, I still remember. I remember the dress I had on in the choir. I remember where I stood. I remember who was standing next to me. That was at least 40-something years ago. But I remember that because it hurt me so bad, because something that I really enjoyed, I was told I couldn't do because I was not the right color. But nevertheless, it didn't take away the joy of me loving this movie. And so every time it came on, I tried to make sure I watched it. Of course, I bought it, and then I bought the soundtrack because I love the songs. But nevertheless, how this ties to what we are talking about today is that there's a lot of symbolism in this particular movie. And what I didn't know until I did my little research was that this movie is banned in certain states because they said that it doesn't depict the right theme or the right message to men, about men. And I thought, wow, that's kind of odd. But nevertheless, when I went back through some of the characters and understood, I guess I could understand what they were talking about, and I'll explain that in a minute. Well, let me tell you why I was so passionate about talking about this. Me and girlfriend were talking, and we were saying how, you know, there's so many things that, 'cause, you know, I love my visuals, that we can use to get our children to understand that there's no place like home. I mean, even, I know, when I was a kid, I envisioned, you know, being somewhere else and probably be, you know, more magical or happy or whatever. But at the end of the day, there is no place like home. And so we were talking about how our children have somehow kind of lost their way. They're distracted from the journey that they're on. And not just children. Some of us adults are distracted from the journey that God has put place before us. And like this movie, Dorothy had it good. Now, I don't remember, and I tried to research to find out why she wasn't with her actual parents, but she was living with her aunt and her uncle, Auntie M and Uncle Henry. And the movie kind of starts out with her kind of getting in the way, and Auntie M was like, "Oh, find yourself something to do. You're in the way." And so in the midst of her going to find herself something to do, she noticed her little dog, Toto, was not with her. And so here comes Miss Gilt, I think that was her name, and she had the dog in the basket. And she said, I want this dog because he bit me. He was in my garden. And so the aunt M and Uncle Henry were trying to plead with her not to take this dog. And she said, "Oh, no, I'm going to have him put to sleep because, you know, he's a mangy mutt, but blah, blah, blah." And so she takes the dog. But I like this scene that Auntie M said. She's like, "There was a time I'd say what I wanted to say to you, but because I'm a Christian woman, I can't say it." And so the narrator of one of the articles that I read about The Wizard of Oz, it talked about how many people in this storyline were hopeless and helpless. And many times along the road or along the journey of our lives, we sometimes think that we're hopeless, that we don't have the backbone, we can't stand up to certain people. And so it's very important that we are advocates for our children. And I think sometimes when we kind of get caught up in the bureaucracy of politics and this and that and that and that, we forget that our children are looking to us to guide them, to lead them, to explain. And so instead of them embracing Dorothy because, I mean, if a dog bit somebody, praise God, the dog got to go. But they could have negotiated a better plan. She could have, you know, been with the dog until it was time for him to go. Or they could have just really embraced it, but it was go be somewhere and do what you're supposed to do. And so she was distraught. She went to her room and she, you know, thinking, "What can I do? Where can I go?" And then the famous song, "Somewhere Over the Rainbow," is birthed. Now, that song still sometimes brings tears to my eyes because growing up without parents and, you know, all the things that I've encountered over you know, my life, and you read the lyrics to this song of "Somewhere Over the Rainbow, Skies Are Blue," you know, and then you can kind of get caught up. And so it made me think how easy it is for us to be distracted. We hear songs, and that's why that mental dialogue, what we were talking about last week, and the verbal dialogue, we can get caught up and believe things better than it is. And so I remember once a girlfriend told me, she's like, "Leah, you got to be careful because the grass is looks greener on the other side." And I said, "Well, you know, I learned something about that saying that I don't really care for anymore, because the grass is greener on the other side depending on what season it's in." But praise God, what the whole analogy of that statement should be, just wait for a few minutes because the grass is going to be green on your side too when your season come back around. The grass is green on everybody's side when it's summer and spring and sometime in Georgia in the fall. But nevertheless, the seasons change, and the seasons change in all of our lives. And so we're always hoping and wishing that we were somewhere else and doing somewhere else. If we followed the plan that God had for us, we wouldn't be distracted from the journey. We're going to face trials. We're going to face temptations. We're going to have things that just won't go the way that we want. And if we start envisioning and having these lyrics, and that's why words are so important, they're powerful. And if you give too much time to the wrong conversation, to the wrong things, amen, you will be like Dorothy, wishing and hoping that, you know, because, amen, if you say a thing enough, praise God, you'll make it come, because our words have power. And so, nevertheless, part of the story of Dorothy, the dog came back, snuck and came back, and so she grabbed the dog, and she thought, "Okay, we got to get up out of here. We got to find this rainbow." And so in the midst of her running away, she runs into a wizard. And so the wizard, you know, palm readers or whatever, you know, I think that everybody that watched that movie should watch it to understand that all these psychics and everything, amen, they just read you, and they can tell you. Now, granted, sometimes folks do have the gift of prophecy, and they use it incorrectly. But nevertheless, many times, palm readers and tarot cards, and you call this number, and they give you, amen, go to God. But nevertheless, she went to him, and so he read her because he knew she had her little stuff. He said, you're running away. And he said, who are these people? And she started telling them about the people. And he said, oh, they need to have you come home. They're weary because you left. And she said, oh, I better get home. And he said, yeah, you better hurry because the storm's coming. And so by the time she gets back home, the storm had been raging. And so Auntie M and all the men that worked on the farm, they went to the safe house, and Dorothy was left outside. And what happened? She got hit in the head and knocked her out. Well, when she wakes up, she's in this magical land over the rainbow. And so she meets some interesting people. And the dominant people that they call, or at least the article says, is that it was the good witch, it was the bad witch that she killed when the house landed on her, when her house spun around over the rainbow. It landed on the Wicked Witch of the East, but she still had to deal with the Wicked Witch of the West. Now, me and my girlfriend were laughing and talking about how Dorothy was so fascinated by these little people that she didn't even think to ask the Good Witch, how do I get back home? And so the Good Witch says, well, you can, the wizard, you could go to, but now those of you that have seen the movie and know the end of the story, she had to answer it the whole time. So why didn't she give that answer to Dorothy? Did she want her to be distracted? Did she know that there was a lesson at the end of the rainbow? Whatever the case may be, sometimes when we seek answers, people give us the wrong answers on purpose because we're going to the wrong people. And just because she said she was a good witch, she was still a witch. And so when we think about how even when the bad witch of the bad witch of the West came and saw that her sister was up under this house and who killed my sister. She had these beautiful red shoes. And so when the house landed on her and killed her, of course, the little munchkins in the city that I wanted to be in the play, mind you, but the little people in the city were excited because this particular bad witch was tormenting them. And so again, it showed another side of people being hopeless in the movie. And so when she killed the witch, they were happy. And so she thought she had done something good until the Wicked Witch of the West came and noticed that she had killed her sister. And then she wanted those shoes because they had power, but the Good Witch put the shoes on Dorothy. So now what reference did that make? Did it give Dorothy the power? Because if she had the power, again, the Good Witch could have told her, click your heels and go home now. So why did she not give her that information? Well, it's much like the devil does. He'll lead you to the good and then don't tell you all the storyline that goes with it. And then when we talk about when they sent Dorothy down this journey, down the yellow brick road, she was excited because she's dancing and skipping. And so, like I said, me and this girlfriend had the conversation. And I said, well, when you think about it, she wasn't trying to go home. She was distracted because along the way, she met the scarecrow, she met a tin man, and she met a lion. And so they were having a good time, but none of them were really, in my opinion, thinking because the scarecrow didn't have a brain, but he was narrating everywhere they were going, so he was using his brain but didn't realize he was using his brain. Now, the only one that, in my opinion, the character that really kind of was true to his demise was the Tin Man because he had dried up. He couldn't move. He couldn't do anything. And then when they got to the lion, you know, he was scared because he was a scary lion. And so, you know, he was looking for courage. The Tin Man was looking for a heart. And then the Scarecrow was looking for a brain. So you think a brain, a heart, and courage. And so when you think about the things, of, at least for me, you know, how I dissect the movie and narrate the real story, you know, we have to have the mind of Christ. We have to have the mind of Christ. If we don't have the mind of Christ, amen, then we won't know that we already have every resource that we need. We have the Word, we have the Holy Spirit, and then we know that the sacrifice of Jesus gave us whatever power we needed, the power and authority. But if you don't educate yourself and understand that, then your brain will deceive you. Just as he was deceived, he had a brain. He didn't even know he had one. And then when you get to the Tin Man, he wanted a heart. Passionate already. Many times we are compassionate with the people that we encounter, but sometimes we enjoy being nasty and being mean. But it doesn't take away that God has given us all a heart to love, because he's love and we're created and made in his image. So why wouldn't we believe that we could change and love and be kind and accept people for who they are and not always see the negative side? And then when it came to the lion, I think many of us could be associated with that character, because he is supposed to be the king of the jungle. When we have the gift of God, then we could be the king of whatever environment that we're in. And if you want to say queen, amen. It's, you know, we have the power that God has given. He's given us power. He's given us authority to trample on scorpions and serpents and any evil thing. I mean, when I really got that up under my feet, it was nothing for me to turn the lights off, because I was so scared of the dark, y'all. I was scared. But when I understood the power that Jesus gave, left me, and that I had it all the time, and all those years, I was scared to turn the lights off. I was scared that the devil was going to come get me, because if I got closer to God, that he was going to reveal himself, that he was going to take my children, that he was going to kill me. All that, what were we talking about last week? Mental dialogue. We have to learn how to cut that off, because it will distract us from the journey. Just as they were distracted, they knew they had to get to the wizard, but they allowed the witch to taunt them the whole way. And that's just what the devil does. He taunts us along the journey. And if we're not paying attention and we're not reading and we don't understand the gifts and talents that we have, the brain that God gave us and the mind of Christ, praise God, the heart, to do the things that God has called us to do, and that he, out of the heart, the mouth speaks, so we can claim and we, whew, amen. I'm going to get excited and not finish the story. Praise God. But then, and then having the courage to do what we need to do to be able to stand against whatever foe the enemy does, all because, talking about a tin man, we have the spiritual armor that we need to just lift our shield and raise our sword and do whatever God calls it, we would never be distracted from the journey. But like Dorothy, wanting more than what she thought she knew she wanted, because she had everything she needed at home. But she was on this journey and looking for a wizard to give her help. And so they finally find the wizard, and then the wizard is so overwhelmed because, again, back to the analogy of the story, powerless man, claimed he had the power, had everybody believing he was the power, but he was scared and had no power, but he kind of had some wisdom and understanding, but he didn't even believe in himself. And so he thought, okay, well, distract them that I can't provide for you. In order to get what you guys want and what you came for, you got to go kill the witch. I want her broom. And so now they're distracted again, and now they had to go back to a journey to find the witch. Now, how many of us want to go look for the devil to kill him? I mean, what kind of God would do that to us? He is not calling us to destroy Satan. He's already defeated him. Praise God. That's not our responsibility. But many times we get distracted thinking, well, if I do this, then I'm going to give my life to Christ. Like, we can destroy something. Like, we wizards of our own lives. And so once I get this, then I'm going to be able to do this. Or once I accomplish this, then I'm going to be able to do this. If God has set you on a journey, you already have the mind of Christ. You already have a courage with the heart that you have. And you already have the love of God in you. And everything that you need is in your heart. You just have to use it. Speak life. Speak those things into existence, because the word says all those things. I'm going to give you these scriptures in a minute. But nevertheless, they find the witch. Well, of course, the witch kidnaps Dorothy first. And I just have to do this little side story. And I know my daughter's going to freak out. But like I said, I watched this movie quite a bit. And so I thought it was cool to make my child watch the movie. And so, of course, she was terrified. And so I'm like, you don't have to be afraid, you know, just because I'm not afraid watching the movie. But she was, and so I took advantage of it. And so when she was a little girl, we would go places, and I'm like, if you get away from me, you remember them with the monkeys in the Wizard of Oz? Those were the witch's little, you know, soldiers. I said, they're going to come get you, so you need to stay close to me. Don't get far away from me, because they're going to come. And so every once in a while, she ventured off a little bit too much. I'm like, oh, I think I see the monkeys coming. She got real close to me. Didn't realize that that would perpetuate over to when she stayed with my sister. And my sister took away, and she just freaked out. She said, they're coming, they're coming. She was like, what have you told this baby? She really believes that monkeys from the Wizard of Oz are coming again. I said, but she stayed close to you, so amen. There you have it. Now, that part was a far-fetched example. But nevertheless, I understand now why they said that movie was kind of poor, because it did give kind of the wrong images to children. But amen, we'll get to that in a second. But nevertheless, so Dorothy got kidnapped, and so the Scarecrow, remember, he don't have no brain, but he figured out a plan how to rescue Dorothy. And then the Lion had to figure out how to overcome his courage to actually go and do it, but he loved her enough that he was going to go with whatever plan they had. And then, of course, Timon loved Dorothy, so he was going to do it. But nevertheless, they get Dorothy, they get the dog, and they kill the witch, and they get the broom, and they go back to the wizard. And guess what the wizard has? Nothing. And that's exactly how the devil does us. He leads us and guides us to all these little hoops. And then we think that at the end of whatever journey he has us on, that we're going to be able to accomplish whatever it is that we're doing outside of the will of God. And then you get there and it's like, nope. And then who's laughing? It's not you, because you're hurt. But the enemy is, because he did just what the wizard did. Lead you around and around and around mountains and journeys and valleys that God has not designed you to do. And if you just wait and you have your voice, have your ears tuned to God's voice, you wouldn't have to go through the yellow brick road. You could stand secure in your armor and know that God is going to bring whatever it is to you that you need to have. You may have to wait. You may have to be patient. But you just have to do the things that God has called you to do, because when you step outside the will and you follow the advice of somebody that's not connected, somebody that don't have a heaven or a hell, I mean, why do we get distracted? We get distracted because we have our mind on other things, or we don't believe that we're strong enough or wise enough to make our own decisions. But God has given us all gifts. And the gifts and the callings that he's given each of us are without repentance. Do you know what that means? It means he'll never take them away. I kind of wish I had the gift of singing, because I'd be singing all the time. But God knew, because I probably would be so distracted and be focusing on me and asking people to pay me because I could sing. So he just let me sing in the shower, praise God. But he gave me other gifts and talents that I can use for his glory and his benefit, so that other people can be empowered to change and be like he's called us to be. And whatever your gifts and your talents are, you got to understand them and study them so that you can perfect them. Any job that we have in this system, we do what we need to do. We get degrees. We do concentrated trainings. We do whatever we need to do so that we can be the best on the job. But when it comes to the word, that's the pastor's job. No, ma'am, that's your job. You need to know the word just as much as the pastor does, so that when the pastor speaks, it's confirmation what God has already told you. It is not the pastor's job to change you. It is your responsibility to make the necessary changes to be in line with the things of God. And when we're not, we have to go down the yellow brick road and deal with whatever we have to deal with something taunting us and keeping us away from what the things that God has for us. So, nevertheless, she gets back, she has the broom, she goes to the wizard, and he can't help her. But he gives them these prizes. So he gives the Scarecrow a diploma. Now, he's instantly smart before he got the diploma. And then he gives the Tin Man a heart. And then supposedly he can hear his heart beating because it was a clock. I mean, he had a heart already. And then the man, he gave the courage. He had courage anyway. He had courage to fight and do what was necessary to get Dorothy. I mean, he had courage all the while. And then when it got to Dorothy and it was her turn, it was, I don't know how to get you home. And so, of course, it was like the other, you know, because they develop relationships. And that's something that we sometimes do when we get distracted and we get on a journey and we meet different people. And sometimes they can be a help to us, and sometimes they can be a hindrance. But what I didn't understand when I watched the movie over and over, they were willing to give their gifts back for Dorothy to get home. And so if I wanted a brain all that time, I don't know. I'd try to figure out a way for her to get home, but I wouldn't give it back. But nevertheless, here comes the good witch. And she's like, baby girl, all you have to do is click your heels 3 times and you'll be home. And then she says the famous words, there's no place like home. Now, why couldn't she have done that in the beginning? Why did she have to go through all of that horrible torment, chase down a witch and kill her, and be kidnapped? And, you know, why do we do what we do? Why do we go down the wrong road and allow the enemy to beat us up and other people call us names and all the drama and the turmoil that we go through when if you just listen to God, you'd have clicked them heels and you wouldn't have to go through all that. Well, not necessarily clicking heels, but you would have followed the plan that God had for you. Now, one of the cool things that I love about the word is that it confirms every single thing you need. First scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, that most of us know. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. I mean, to me, amen, that'd be enough for most of us if we really understood what that means. I have, I know the plans I have for you. So he knows the plan. If we just stop there, God knows the plan. Why am I asking other people? Why am I going to all these different places asking where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be doing? When God knows the plan for you. And he said, I have for you. That means he knows the plan and he has what I need to get to the plan that he has for me. And this says, he didn't say declare Job or Paul or David. It says declare the Lord. And that plan is to prosper you and not to harm you. Okay. To prosper you. So what does that mean? That means that you are supposed to advance in something. But we looking for Baquita and Sharita to hook us up so that we can, you know, have a good hair business. What when God says, I have a plan to prosper you, it may not be what you want to do, but if that's the plan God has for you, you can be prosperous. And then you're prosperous, then you can say, well, Lord, okay, I got all this excess money. Can I open up a hair business? And he might say, sure. But in the meantime and in between time, you have to follow the plan that God has for you. And that plan is not to harm you. Why are we so afraid to walk in the plan of God? Why are we afraid to just trust him and do what he calls us to do? Because he's not going to harm us. But for some reason, we're so afraid to start that business that we know God has laid on our heart to start. We're so afraid to write a book because baby and them said that, you know, I can't spell. Or whatever it is that God told you to do, why do you feel that you will fail when he already said that he has a plan and you're following his plan? His plan is not going to harm you. His plan is going to give you hope, and his plan is going to give you a future. What does a future mean? That means a whole lot, because that's a future in this system and an eternal future coming. Amen. We should run when we hear that scripture. We should run because God has I don't know what to do, and that's why it's so important. A lady, she was a mentor, she told me years ago, she said, Leah, pray that God will reveal to you the plan that he has for your children, because your children are younger enough now that if he reveals to you the plan, you can lead them and guide them in that path so that they'll be on the right journey. They won't be going here and there and everywhere. They'll follow the plan that God has for them, and they will have problems. They will have hope, they will prosper, and they will have a future. And so when my daughter was tripping when she was in school, I'm like, what have we been doing? We have been following the plan that God has for you. Stay the course, because God has a plan for you. And his plan, remember we said, his gifts are without repentance. That means he will never take them back. Never. Why do we fight that journey? Why? I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, then the next scripture is Esther 4:14. It says, perhaps you were born for such a time as this. I often wonder, Lord, how come we weren't born when, well, my grandmother's listening, so she was. But granted, you can ask that question too. Why was I born during the Civil Rights Movement? You know, why did I have to go through that process? And then for those of us that, praise God, came out on the other side, we according to my grandmother, the easy side where, you know, praise God, we can do whatever the things that we want to do, things are available. We were born in the times that we were born in because we have a gift and a calling to do what God called us to do in that season. And so when we don't do what God calls us to do, then we're not operating in the season that God called us. So, I mean, you have to stay the journey. You can't get distracted. And then the next scripture God gave was Psalms 33:11. The plan of the Lord stands firm forever. the purposes of his heart through all generations. Do you know that if you follow the plan that God has for you, your generations will be blessed and their generations will be blessed because you're now teaching them. This is why I have hope, why I have a future, why I'm successful, why I'm prospering, because I follow the plan of God. And so now you need to do that in order for you to have the same blessings. And then if you train your children to do, they'll have blessings in their children. Amen. We have to follow. God has a big plan, and that plan is for us to prosper. Why do we keep getting distracted on this journey? Amen. We have to ask ourselves why. Lord, forgive me and help me get back on track. I want to do the things that are pleasing to you so that I can line up with your will. I know you gave me gifts, and I know you gave me a calling. So help me to line up with what you're saying, what I should do. And praise God, I can live this prosperous life. Doesn't mean you're going to have thousands of cars and a mansion. No, not necessarily. Prosper means a whole lot of stuff, praise God. I know that I'm living a prosperous life, even though I'm having ailments, I've had cancer, I've had strokes, I've had touched almost heart attack. I mean, all these things that God, but I'm still prospering. Why? Because I've always had insurance to pay for this stuff. I haven't lost my house. I haven't lost my car. Matter of fact, folks, give us cars. We've been given five cars, given, just given with keys, given five cars. Amen. I am prosperous because I'm doing the plan of God. I am able to help those that are less fortunate. When, praise God, I look at my check and it's like, oh, Lord, somebody need to make a donation to me. But because I'm willing to help and serve other people, God gives me. And I can't tell y'all enough, you need to get on the right journey. Amen. Stop being distracted. The next scripture, Romans 8:28. And for we know that those, let me start over. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Lord have mercy. That's why I love the word, because it connects. And I mean, it confirms itself. But you got to read it. You got to read it. You got to know it so you can stand on these scriptures. And when you stand on the scriptures and praise God, you can be told you have cancer and be like, okay, God's going to take care of it. Amen. I'm not caught up. You know, it was difficult, you know, going to all these crazy doctors and them lying to me. But I knew if I referred myself back to the Wizard of Oz movie, that was the Wicked Witch just, you know, taunting me. Oh, you know, I'll get you, my pretty. But he can't. Because if I stay on the plan that God has for me, I go to the right people that God lines me up with, then praise God, I may have to go through a little valley and, you know, and some turns. I wouldn't necessarily call it the yellow brick road because I'm on God's path. Sometimes when I am on the yellow brick road, it's because I lean to my own understanding. And we ain't trying to do that. We're trying to follow the plan and the purpose that God has for us because he has called those according to his purpose. I don't think sometimes we really understand the magnitude of God. If we really understood the magnitude of God, I think I was teaching my social studies class, and I was telling them, we were talking about the continents, and we were talking about, you know, how this continent was here and this continent was there. And so, you know, we made little shapes or whatever of what the continents were. And I said, now, if we put this all together with all the oceans in between, God has all that in his right hand. That's what the word says. And so if God has all of that, and you think about this vast world we live in, China, Africa, North America, South America, Antarctica, all of that, all the oceans is in his right hand, his left hand. What's in his left? Amen. If he got all of that purpose and power, why do we doubt him? Why do we think we'll fail? Why do we think if we yield ourselves to him, he's going to let us just fall over and be depressed and live in sorrow? Why do we believe that? It's because we're distracted and we allow the world system, as my girlfriend reprimanded me and was like, man, you're watching too much TV. Turn that TV off, get in the Word. Study the Word. Do the assignment he called you, told you to finish this book. Finish this book. I'm grateful because the Wicked Witch was having me watch all them witchy shows. They want witch shows, but you know, it's distractions to keeping me from doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And then praise God, my baby girl for Christmas bought me a table that I can put the computer in the bed. I mean, there's no reason why I can't be obedient to do what God has called me to do. And so I gotta really see when the Wicked Witch is visible and doing her thing to get me distracted. No, ma'am. I want to follow the plan of God. So when I don't necessarily click my heels, but when God tells me to do what I'm supposed to do, yes, I'm going to have my hands in my pockets, and I'm going to ask people for buckets, and all the blessings going to come because he promised them to me. He promised me. So I got to do what he's called me to do. Amen. And then, we'll blow your mind, Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Now, many people may think, well, I'm not a prophet. Yeah, we're all ministers in the things of God, because what is the main assignment we're supposed to do based on Matthew? To go and seek the lost and teach them about the things of God. That's our job. To prophesy to the nations. If you give your life to Christ, your life will change. It will never be the same. And when you close your eyes for the last time, you're going to wake up in glory. We are prophets because we are prophesying their end. That's a prophet. Now, granted, there's other types of prophets, praise God. But nevertheless, we can prophesy to the people that are lost that this is the road you need to go on and your life will change. What do we say when we prophesy? We're encouraging, we're edifying, and we're helping the people to be encouraged to do what they're called to do. So, amen. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, and then when you came out of your mother's womb, Jeremiah 29:11 said, I know the plan I have for you. Amen. But 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Many of us can't wait. We think that because God said that he had a plan, that like last year he told me that he was going to birth my ministry, and I was so excited that I told everybody on my birthday last year that this is what God has for me, and I'm going for it. And then the next day I had COVID and then cancer, and then, amen, I've been sick for a whole year. And so I'm like, well, Lord, you said what you said. I believed you. And he said, I did. And he said, but I didn't say in 2021. You ain't for me. You took the dream and tried to put it in action. You can wait for me. Be patient. It says, for the Lord is not slow to keep his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So I had a lot of things that I didn't realize why I couldn't be launched like I wanted to, because I didn't learn how to deal with my pride. I didn't learn how to really be humble. I didn't learn how that my favorite scripture, I was trying again to be the vine and make him the branch and him to flow with me. No, God had to allow me to go through all the steps that I had to go through last year or this past year to understand I am still the vine, that I still have a plan and a promise for you, and you will prosper. It just won't be in your timing. It's in my timing. And just because I give you a peep or give you a inkling of what is to come doesn't mean you make it come to pass. That's my job. And I had to learn how to be humble and sit down and be quiet for a little while and allow God to be God, and then to God to show me this is what you can have if you're quiet and you listen to me and you follow the journey that I have planned for you and not be distracted by all the winds of the world. Because I have been telling a whole lot of people, my eyes were sitting on my cheek and I was blind, but now I can see. So that's all the testimony I need. I don't need no more testimony. God gave me the hardest testimony, so I'm done. Did I think I was saying that God couldn't give me no more testimonies? Well, praise God. I won't say that no more. Whatever God has me go through, I know that it's the plan for me to prosper and not to fail. And so whatever I go through on that journey, he's going to make sure that I have all the resources and everything I need. I just have to be patient and wait, not get upset and not be forward and all that crazy stuff that we do sometimes when God don't move in our timing, because I'm reminded of these scriptures that God said that I need to be patient and that he's not slow. We sing the song all the time. God is always on time. Amen. Till we want something. But nevertheless, I like this next truth. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye on you. So that means even when you're going through your training, when you're going through your tests and your trials, it doesn't mean that God has left you or that he's taken his eye off of you. I'm reminded of some type of a little commercial, whatever, not a commercial, but a little comic something where it said that God was doing something else and he was distracted because, you know, he somehow has forgotten about me. And so the people kind of laughed, and I thought, that's not funny. I said, that's not right. I said, God never leaves us nor forsakes us. I don't receive that, not at all. And so even that goes to what me and my daughter talked about last week when she was, or a couple weeks ago, when she was so excited about this post, this ministry had posted. I'm like, that's not right. I said, you know, we can get caught up because it sounds good, but you know, if Jesus had recognized his potential when at the end when he became, and I'm like, potential at the end, God was God before he was even placed in Mary, when he was a baby, he was God. I mean, so that was incorrect. So I was like, no, I can't co-sign that. So they're dumbing Jesus down to say that he didn't recognize his gifts until he became an adult. Are you kidding me? No, ma'am. I'm not co-signing that. So things sound good, but it's not right. And that's why you have to be taught to understand that you can't take certain scriptures of the Bible and make them yours and twist them to make them to your liking. You got to read the whole book to understand the mysteries of God, because everything ain't in one scripture necessarily. All scriptures God breathed, because God breathed for our teaching and instruction and even our rebuke. But praise God, we can't take one scripture and then, you know, make a ministry out of it. No, you got to read the whole thing. And so it always irritates me. I was telling the people were right. Miss Bernice, if you listen to Amen, Miss Robin, praise God, they helped me. We in camp together to do our books. And I remember I was telling them, she said, Leah, you didn't put your degrees on your bio. And I said, you know, I get caught up and I don't always listen, because there's been several places that I've been, several places that I've gone, and people have told me you can't put your degrees on your resume because the pastor may be intimidated if he thinks that you're smarter than him. Well, for me, I could care less. I got the degrees because I wanted the information. I wasn't trying to get degrees to brag to nobody. I wanted to know the word because I love the word, and I wanted to understand it so that when I teach and when I share, I can share with confidence because I know what God is actually saying. I'm not regurgitating information that I heard from somebody say at two sermons ago. I'm checking that word out for myself, for me, and know what it actually means for me. And so the only way that I could do that is by what the word says. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. He told me to get educated so that I could be a teacher to teach those that need to know the way. And so, and I don't want to be a hypocrite and just say this stuff off the top of my head because it sounds good. I mean, I've heard many sermons in the past, praise God. Praise God, we've gotten better. That we can do the ABCs and people shout off the ABCs, and he ain't said nothing about God. It sounded good and made everybody move and dance, but at the end of the day, you still broke, you still, you know. We need to know the word. We need to word the word for ourselves. It's not the pastor's job. It's part of his job to present it to you, but it's your job to take it, to manifest it, and to make it and put it into operation and application. Amen? Okay, we're getting close to the end. You know I can keep talking because I love the word and I'm always excited, but I'm almost out of time. But I want to give the scripture, and then I'm going to say all the scriptures that I shared. This last one is one of my favorites too. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Why is that necessary? Because we don't know. He has the plan. We don't have no plan. He has the plan. And so if we trust in him with all of our heart, remember the 10 men wanted a heart? Yes, we have a heart. We need to lean not to our own understanding. That means you have a brain, but you need to connect that mindset and be connected to the mind of Christ. And so we can't lean to our own understanding. Like the good witch, yeah, follow the yoke of road. It'll send you to the wizard. I guess he'll tell you what to do. No, we know what to do. We go to the word. And if we submit our ways to him, he will make the path clear. He will make the path straight. your journey will be smoother. You still have some taunts here and there, but his plan is for you to prosper and to have a good future. And so the scriptures that I said, and I'm going to say I'm slow because my daughter always said, you go too fast. Jeremiah 29 and 11, Esther 4 and 14, Psalms 33 and 11, Romans 8, 28, Jeremiah 1 and 5, 2 Peter 3 and 9, Psalms 32 and 8, and Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. I'll do it one more time. Jeremiah 29, 11, Esther 4, 14, Psalms 33, 11, Romans 8, 28, Jeremiah 1 and 5, 2 Peter 3, 9, Psalms 32, and then Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. I pray that you have been blessed, that you have been encouraged, that God will give you the inspiration you need to do the plan that he's called for you. And more importantly, I want to make sure that we close out with my granny's favorite song, because every praise belongs to him. And I know she's listening and she's my number one fan. So I got to make sure I play her song and then those that enjoy it too. But this is Leah Killing with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. I pray that each of you stay the course. Do the right journey and follow and allow God to lead you. And you do that by starting your day with prayer, prayer throughout your day, and then praying to end your day. God bless you, and tune in again next week. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise.